Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your boys. We're back. I heard you missed us. We got a new member of the crew with us, bringing them back, old school. We're missing one, almost full attendance. We're going to have to blame the professor for screwing up the formula this week, but we're going to make the most of it. It's been a while since we did a real podcast with the whole crew. Everybody's here. We're going to get down to it. We got some things to catch up on, movie reviews to do. So Ed's not available to read the intro. I don't have any copy with me, so we're going to roll with it. Last time we talked movie review, which has always been one of my favorite segments of the show, Shaggy's pick was Dirty Dozen. So whether you watched it, whether you didn't watch it, whether you're new to the show, you're going to throw a number out. And I'm going to start with the Phantom. What do you got for a score on the Dirty Dozen and thoughts?
Start with me.
I will say this, after rewatching it, I thought it was a little bit dated. Yes. Obviously made before any of us were born. But, yeah, you know, it's a pretty good violence. You can't really go wrong with the old formula of we're taking the grittier, the grittiest, and what was that? You take the gallow or you take the mission, take your pick. So it was definitely a solid story. I mean, it kind of got ripped off with different other themes to other movies going forward, but I'll give it a solid 6.8 for Ziggy Palfy.
All right, Shaggy, it was your pick. I should have started with you. I kind of threw a curveball at the Phantom. I'm kind of batting out of order. We're out of practice.
You're fucking me.
I know. And you got a DVD giveaway this week too, right?
Oh, that's right. There you go.
Ooh. Yeah, I'll grab one.
Okay. Shaggy?
Yeah. I mean, I always loved this movie growing up. I remember watching my grandfather, my father, and stuff like that. Like, just nostalgic reads, and I loved it. But yeah, definitely not like in the high eights or anything like that. So I'm going to go with like a 7.3. It is a little dated. Like, how dare they have a World War II movie in the like 60s and 70s? Like, God forbid.
Shaggy, get your calculator out. We're going to need it.
Oh, shit. Scott, Ed dropped the ball already.
Thoughts on the Dirty Dozen?
Who'd you call?
Scotty.
Oh, okay. Honestly, this is one of my favorite movies, actually. And similar to Shaggy, it was one that you watch with your parents, your father, your grandfather. And so I probably still watch this every year. I just love the ensemble. It's really, really cool. And love the violence. I love all the blowing up and all the great stuff with it. They kind of, that little exercise that they do where they kind of capture the thing, that's all right. But I like the whole story of it. Interesting little tidbit of it. Jim Brown actually retired to be in that movie. He was going to be fined by Art Modell there like $1,500 a week. Because of the filming, and so he ended up just deciding to retire. So it was hilarious. I'm gonna actually give it a 8.1 for me.
All right, Ed.
Off of mute now. I'm gonna give it a solid 8. I mean, how can you go wrong? How can you go wrong with that movie? Seriously, no. You know, I mean, with all the characters from all the war movies. Like, I don't know, like, you know, what's his name? Like Lee Marvin and Charles
Savalas.
Charles Savalas. I mean, all of them, you know, good stuff. I'm going to give it an 8. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a little dated and whatnot, but not too bad.
Dennis, you're up. What do you got for the Dirty Dozen? Throw some out there.
Is he done buffering up there? Telly Savalas was in that movie?
He's a wacko, too. Yeah. It's a nut job.
Seeing snips of this when I was like 10, like my dad would watch it. I mean, I liked all the blowing up and all that shit. Kind of, you know, and like Ryan said, there's been a lot of like takes on that whole training rejects to do like a special mission or a special project to save the world and blah, blah, blah. And so like, I like that angle, but as far as rating it, since Telly Savalas is in it, I'm going to give it a 7.1.
Nice. Right. Gibby, you're up.
So Dennis said it, the blowing up and all that shit. It wasn't exactly Danny McBride and Tropic Thunder, Dennis, but you know. Best line from the movie for me, Brad, you may agree, is just walk slow, act dumb, and look stupid. When Sutherland's doing the general inspection, great stuff. I will give it overall 7.5. I enjoyed going back to watch it. No lube, no foreplay. We just right in, we hang a guy. And then like 10 minutes later, we get the credits. Kind of something you didn't see from a movie back in the late 60s. They did stuff like that. Marvin did not like this movie because it didn't portray war as close as he wanted it to. But I think he enjoyed making it all together. Again, like you said, you can't miss with that, with the staff they had. Here's trivia. We need more actors with the last name of Maggot. Definitely. Definitely up. Where the hell they came up with, let's call Telly Savalas, Dennis Rose's idol, let's call him Maggot. So, yeah, it $5.4 million budget, grossed $45.3 million. So they did a pretty damn good job with that. And Cassavetes, I think he dials it up. He's hilarious as his character. And he was the only one that was nominated for an Oscar. He's Best Supporting Actor. So overall, I really enjoyed going back to watch it. Shaggy, I have a double header suggestion. If you watch this, and what would be the next movie you would watch? I put The Great Escape.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yep. That's what I had. Achilles Heroes.
Yeah. Yep. So that's what I got for you. Overall, 7.5. I really enjoyed going back to watch it. Big Lee Marvin guy. So that was good. Thank you.
All right, Bradford.
Yeah, it's like the original buddy movie. You know, the Dirty Dozen, Donald Sutherland, Charles Bronson, George Kennedy, Ernest Borgnine. I mean, at the time, you know, these guys were the top of, you know, the Hollywood acting tree, you know. So it's really cool to see all of them in this movie. It is actually loosely based on a true story, a 101st Airborne unit called the Filthy 13. Now, the real life Filthy 13. They weren't criminals. They weren't like, hey, we went to this prison and scraped these guys out and sent them into World War II. They were just the one unit in the 101st Airborne that they literally shaved mohawks. They were like, yo, we're jumping in behind enemy lines. We're a demolition unit. We're going to wear war paint. We're wearing mohawks. Everyone can suck it. Like, we're going to go against the grain. And back then, it was a little more acceptable because people were literally dying for their country. They actually went behind enemy lines and some bridges got blown up and American forces thought that they were dead. So they left them. And then like one day they just like popped up. Wow. All 13 of them. Like, hey, we caught a bunch of prisoners. We're still alive. So they kind of went down in history as a badass group of airborne, you know, and the movie's kind of loosely based on that, but I'll give it, you know, for nostalgia's sake, it's not a bad movie. It's not a bad war film. I think if you list the top 10 war movies, I think, the Dirty Dozen has to be in that top 10 somewhere, right? 100%. If I was sitting somebody down and say, watch war movies, this is in the mix somewhere. I'll give it a solid 7.1.
All right, I'll sound off on this one. It's the OG for what started, you know, the Tarantino, the Grindhouse stuff, the Suicide Squad type aspect of it. It's been done so many different times, but this is the original. There's a certain thing about that. If you did a timeline with movie watching, if you're a movie buff, especially Gen X perspective, this 1968 through like 1988, greatest genre for movies. That starting with the Dirty Dozen, you got Easy Rider in 69, you have The Godfather in 70, and like all that classic stuff that came out of it that like built these guys that are famous directors for homages to that stuff, like Tarantino. Dirty Dozen is definitely on that list. Because it's the original, I'm going to give it an 8.6. I really like the concept of the movie. I like the cast. It's the original. There was nothing else to really compare that to. So 8.6 on that. Shaggy, do you have a total for us? Ed, do you have a total for us?
Averages out to a 7.5.
There you go.
Dirty Dozen.
IMDb is a 7.7, so we're right in there.
Every time. Well, so
yep. There you go.
The next pick is mine. Been a while. This has been coming up on my feed the last 2 weeks.
That'll be a horror movie.
The next time I get to pick a movie, we're going with this. It's a must watch. Whether you've seen it 1,000 times.
Don't be a hockey movie.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh,
yes!
Lambda.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh. You know, all the one-liners in that, all the stuff that they couldn't do again.
Never.
We're pre-gaming for the next time for a panty raid.
There you go. And then we get Lamar pre-Cobra Kai. Good call.
So, Ed, get out your limp-wristed throwing style to watch some Revenge of the Nerds, sir.
There you go.
Frozen?
He's frozen like worms are watching dozen. The video.
Chicken's burning.
Oh, man, good call.
We do not have the professor to segue into what we usually do with sports talk, but we do have a guy that's very passionate about one word. Dennis's favorite sport of all time, wrestling. Brad, bring us up to date with some wrestling.
Oh, I don't know what you want me to talk about, man. So WWE, I want to say they jumped the shark, dude. When they jumped the ESPN, they jumped the shark. They rushed the move. WrestlePalooza is a new PLE. It's not one they generally produce. It sucked. There was nothing good about it. The women's match, Io Sky, Stephanie Vaquera, was the highlight. The rest of the program, if I had to pay for that, if I bought tickets to that at TKO prices, I'd be pissed. It was so bad. ESPN themselves rated it a C. They said it really underwhelmed and underperformed. I think with that being said, the WWE's main programs, SmackDown and Raw, are kind of struggling. It's not interesting. There's no storylines. It's fizzling out. Now, NXT and TNA is cooking right now with this invasion, this TNA invasion. It's kind of like that. There's even rumors that Edge is going to be released temporarily from his contract to show up to do one of Cena's last matches. Maybe. For Saturday Night Main Event, maybe for his last one. John Cena kind of did a tribute to Edge in one of his matches a few SmackDowns ago. And in return, Edge did a tribute to John Cena. He did the five-knuckle shuffle and the attitude adjustment. It was awesome. Anyway, that being said, AEW is kind of putting out some really good stuff right now. But WWE, it is hard for me to watch. I can only imagine if Dennis watched it right now, he'd probably put his fist through his TV or something like that. He'd just be so enraged. On top of that, they had a huge botch the other night. Nia Jax, guess who? The botch master herself threw the other botch master, Jade Cargill, into some steps. Now, it's on Jade Cargill, in my opinion. Like, she should have took the bump. She should know how to brace for impact. And she completely missed the bracing for impact part, and she got cut up bad. And then Nia Jax didn't know how to finish. The ref didn't get involved until it was too late. Tiffy covered. It was supposed to be a 3 count. The ref stopped at 2, but there was no kick out or no interference. I don't know if Jade was supposed to interfere or if Nia was supposed to kick out. Either way, it was a botch. It was live. The whole crowd went nuts. They started booing. Then they rush the finish to get off the TV, to get off air real quick. It is an absolute mess. The TKO ESPN jump has been a shit show. They brought back Brock Lesnar. That's pissed a lot of people off. Vinnie Mac is still out there. Hey, we might gotta bring Vince back. We brought Brock Lesnar. We gotta bring Vince back. Someone's gotta right this ship. Someone's gotta fix it. Somebody posted on their Instagram, two floor seats for WrestleMania in Las Vegas. Should have been New Orleans. We got screwed over. Now it's in Vegas. Two floor seats, $64,000. That is insane. I can't even imagine paying that much money to go to one night, or maybe it's two nights. It doesn't matter. It's too much. And getting the shit product that we just got. SummerSlam's 2 days sucked. Every PLE since then has sucked. I wouldn't go. Honestly, until they fix it and make it more interesting, I wouldn't spend the money. But people are going to go. They're going to spend the money. Stupid.
Brad, I'm going to kick this one to the Phantom before we end any wrestling talk. And I want him to give his diatribe on why wrestling shouldn't be for the rich. Go ahead there, Phantom.
Like I said before, wrestling is for the poor.
Yep.
In wrestling from the 80s, sorry, Brad, down south, where they're kissing on the wrestlers as they come into the ring. It'll never be that again. They've pulled the curtain back too far. Everybody knows. I mean, we kind of knew back then, but now it's just blatantly out there, and it's they're looking for these big venues. They're looking for these deals with apps and all of that, and it's that they're getting the big bump from it now. But over like a 5-10 year period, they're going to kill their fan base because these people that are going to it because it's something to do. It's ESPN's trying to make it more mainstream or whatever. But they're pricing out their real fans, and that's not going to be good for their product. I saw a thing where they were saying, and you know, everybody likes to talk bad about Vince because he's a scumbag on the side, but businessman wise, he knew that wrestling was a family thing, and. When did most people start watching wrestling? They started watching wrestling because probably their parents watched wrestling, and it got brought on to you because somebody in your family was watching it. And next thing you know, you're an adult, and you have kids, and now your kids start watching it because you watch it, and it's generational. As funny as that may sound, as it's not a real sport, like kind of goes along with being like a fan of a certain team. Like, your dad liked them, so you like them. But it's kind of sad where it's going, being like lifelong fan of it. But I think it's going to fizzle out. I don't know if it needs to die a little bit before it can kind of get resurrected. But right now it's not good.
I think the way WWE is going, they're going to fizzle out. I think this is a perfect opportunity for Tony Khan and AEW to go. Because AEW is still family-friendly pricing. Like, I had a bunch of friends in Fort Worth. What was it, AEW All In? Basically, their version of WrestleMania, right? And a bunch of my people went and took their kids. Like, I can't – man, for the price that people are saying that this next one is cost, there's no way I could take Lucas. Even if it was in New Orleans, man, I don't know if we'd be able to go without having to sell a car or the dog or something. And that's not happening. Like, we got to make money somehow to go – no, man, like, it's – it's ridiculous, man. I don't know what they're thinking, but they're pricing their fan base out of it, and I think they're going to pay for it.
All sounds right, like Brad, you need I'm to gonna... throw out the Easy E Eric Bischoff bat signal. Am I wrong? As well, the resident WCW fanatic, I'll say that. Yeah, there you go. Yep.
He was the one that brought up the point about wrestling being for families. I wanted a curious comment from Dennis on thoughts on wrestling being for the poor. Dennis,
I'm sorry,
don't forget poor and dumb.
Yeah,
I never said dumb.
Dennis, what's your thoughts on wrestling being priced so that poor people can go watch it?
100% should be that way. It should not be a rich man's game. The people who watch wrestling are your everyday Joes across America who've been watching it a large majority of their lives. Like, if they grew up on it, they generally stayed with it. They've pulled their children into it. Like, it's happened with all of you guys. You know, I watched it, like, when I was a youth and, like, a young teenager, but then I just kind of got away from it. You guys have stuck with it, right? But, like, I don't understand it being for people who are the rich of the rich, because then you can't get, like, people to go to WrestleMania. Well, you'll still get people to go to WrestleMania and all these events and everything, but it's just not going to have the same impact. It's kind of like the Super Bowl. Like, it's not really football fans who are at the Super Bowl. It's corporations and stuff like that.
Yeah, good point.
Shaggy, thoughts on wrestling for the poor?
Yeah, this is why I watch Bare Knuckle Boxing.
Oh, slap fight.
I got nothing.
I got to ask Ed. Thoughts on wrestling for the poor, Ed?
I'm not going to go on the poor thing, but I'm just going to say it to you like this. Don't you find it funny how ESPN gets UFC and pretty much that goes on the back burner, and now all of a sudden UFC is going to Paramount? And, you know, basically it looks like there's going to be a resurgence in UFC. So I think it's going to be a parallel that when ESPN gets involved in certain things that have not always been on ESPN, on exception of, like, the, you know, AWA back in the day when they were trying to fill content for ESPN2. You know, other than that, I just think that, you know, that I agree with you guys. It's at the pinnacle right now, and it's going to retract down. And then I think it's going to go back to the people that really want to watch it, you know. And I agree with the fact is, it's like, just go to any type of sporting event now. It is much more of a corporate flavor than anything else. The fans don't get quite as loud. It's because the tickets cost so much. I mean, you know, tickets to go see an NFL game start at $150 a seat. Yep. And that's for nosebleed seats.
Yep.
Perfect example that, big hockey fan, obviously. Kids. My kids never go on to see the Blackhawks. So I'm like, let me pony up. When they, I don't know if they played that October 9th or whatever, four tickets, $1,200.
Yeah. Well, good thing it's October, not April, when they start to bend the knee to the load management.
Like, yes.
You said four tickets was $1,200?
$1,200. Yeah. Four people.
You watch hockey, bro.
Yeah.
So yeah. I do a whole new thing, Ryan. So I've, like,
don't
I
go.
Will actually get, well, no. I went to the Red Sox Blue Jays game this week, and I'm literally in town, and I wait till like 10 minutes before the game, and I start seeing those prices drop, right?
Yep.
You're on the StubHub of that, and I've done that a couple times now where I got good seats for like $75 a ticket. And it's ridiculous, because that same seat I was looking at earlier that week is like $300. So there's companies or people, they're buying them up, and it's just
– I figured a high roller like you, Scotty, would be sitting behind home plate with Geddy Lee. No?
But if I can talk about wrestling, which you know I never do, but I feel like it goes the way of Vegas, right? Vegas right now is an all-time low, right? They're not selling out. They're having all the problems. And why do people go to Vegas? Because there was cheap hotels, a lot of entertainment. And just because you gambled, you got all these things on the side. Now, Vegas is a fortune, right? And I think that's, you know, when you guys are talking about that, that's what wrestling, right? You used to be able to go to a wrestling match in your town for like peanuts for a ticket. And even these other things. Yeah, WrestleMania, you know, that's always going to cost a lot because that's the ultimate event. But all the other things should be somewhat reasonable. People were taking families. So I hope to see that there's a course correction.
Bro, just in the last couple of years, though, like our first show, we went to Monday Night Raw in New Orleans. We four seats by the entrance. My son got to hug Cody Rhodes. I only spent $300 or $400, $500 tops. It was nothing. It almost doubled the year after just to go to SmackDown. I'm like, this bullshit. And then we got lied to, and The Rock came out and said they're doing WrestleMania in New Orleans. Then he lied and took it back. So I'm a little salty about it.
Yeah, and where's WrestleMania going to be next year? Las Vegas, like Scotty was saying. They moved it there, and they're in a lull too.
Bullshit. Yep.
I just don't think that they know their audience. Even like Las Vegas, you're catering to a certain demographic of person that it's cheap to get you there because they know you're going to spend money on other things, whether you gamble or you don't. There's shows now, there's sports there, so you're going to make it expensive to get there and expensive while you're there. That's why I think the allure to go is kind of gone. I don't call me crazy on that one, but
they're crazy.
Minor league sports is where it's at, man. Dennis, I paid $17 a seat to go see the Blue Wahoos play about 3 weeks ago. Nice. I did it. Got a hat right here too. See, and the thing about it is that it was $17 a seat. See, get the hat right here.
The whole seat.
$17 a seat and $10 to park. Man, it was great. All the major league stuff is they're outpricing their fans and consumers, and eventually, look, we all can agree groceries are higher today than they have ever been. People have to spend money on food, you know, or you could be like Andy, where you know he's just filling up the gas tank and you know loading up the bus, trekking all over New England for hockey, you know.
Ryan, we don't miss those days, do we?
Mm-mm.
We do, but we don't.
I do.
We do, but we don't. It's tough. Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of it being the greatest time of the year for sports, it's Brad's favorite time because hockey started. So it's that time. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking hockey, but I want to do is where it's – I don't want to hijack the show with my thoughts on the passing of an ultimate legend. He was probably like the Hulk Hogan of the NHL.
So he's racist.
Bernie Parent.
Oh, Jesus.
So I brought on Derek. Derek, thoughts on the passing of Bernie Parent? Yeah. You have the floor.
Okay, so before we went on, guys, Andy and I were talking, and Ryan and Ed maybe chiming here. Perhaps Philadelphia's most popular athlete ever. I think Mike Schmidt is right there. I think if Reggie White had stayed with the Eagles, he probably would have been right there. But I think at the end of the day, because he was so affable, he's great with the fans. I know Andy's met him. I've met him. He seems like he was a great guy. Always had the thumbs with the rings. And so I'm going to give him the nod as the most popular athlete in Philadelphia sports history. Now, Andy, I crunched some numbers for you here, and we're really looking at a Sandy Koufax, Pedro Martinez type of run he had in those two cup years. All right. So that for the uneducated, it's 73-74, 74-75. 73-74, they beat the big bad Bruins and Bobby Orr. And 74-75, they beat the French Connection and the upstart Buffalo Sabre. So in those 2 years combined, regular season, Bernie had 81 wins. And think about that. We're going to get back to that, Andy, in a second. 81 wins. All right, 73-74, 932 save percentage, 1.89 goals against, 74-75, he regresses to 918 with a 2.04 goals against. Total in those two seasons had, with playoffs, 113 wins, 30 shutouts. So 12 each regular season and then six combined in both playoffs. Lifetime, 915 save percentage. You'll appreciate this one, Andy. Of those wins that he had, only three of them were against the poor California Golden Seals. May they rest in peace. But the 47 wins was a single season record that stood until 2006-2007. But as Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. I feel there should be some kind of asterisk there. And Andy, I think I know you think where I'm going here, Ryan as well. What did they start doing the year before that? The shootout. Yeah. Oh. The shootout. Okay. That added cheap wins. So you'll appreciate this one, Andy. In 06-07, when Brodeur had 48 wins, the Devils had 18 shootout wins. So really looking at the guy who established the single season record for wins, just a great guy. Super popular. He was great on, I'm assuming it's his wife that was running more, but the Twitter, he was great on there. You just saw a picture before he passed. It was him and John Hamm taking a picture. And so statistically speaking, and overall, from a character perspective, just one of the greats of all time. And he'll certainly be, this should be a good tribute to him, Andy, for his first game. They dropped the puck at the Spectrum. We'll always call it the Spectrum for game one. And last thing is, you're never going to see a player win the Cup, the Conn Smythe, and the Vezina, and back to, let alone one year. He did it in back to back years. So,
yeah, they were going for the three-peat against the Canadians that third year, but he was hurt.
Yep.
And that Canadians team that year was the juggernaut that only had, I believe, 9 losses that year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wouldn't say that they would go for three, but I mean, they were right in the mix for it. So that's saying something. Fun fact, now that Bernie's passed, I can tell the story. So we got Joe Watson on, who knows Bernie Parent. We got Andre Lacroix on that knows Bernie Parent. They both told Bernie stories. Bill Clement. So I was talking to Bill Clement one day, way after the fact, way after he was on, and I said to him, hey, you know, I'd really love to get Bernie Parent on because of X, Y, and Z, you know, story-wise. So he says, here's his number, but you didn't get it from me. So I called like 3 times and I sent like 3 emails, like 3 different times. And I felt like if he wasn't going through something, maybe I would have finally got him. But that was on the bucket list of people that I wanted to get on. So there's only one other guy that I'd love to get on with, Bobby Orr. So if, you know, Bruin, no Bruin, whatever, that's just a big part of the allure of being a kid in the New England area. So
yeah, when number 4 goes, it'll be like Montreal when they shut down the city when the Rocket in Béliveau passed. It'll be, you know, the public scene for that will be incredible.
Yeah. Not to, you know, kind of hype all the stuff with the Bernie passing, but yeah, it was just came out of nowhere. It was just one of those things. I know that the previous year before he had back surgery and little known fact when we were conversing back and forth that I didn't know for years he would come up here, not just he was still so ingrained with the Bruins alumni.
Yeah.
That he would come up here between Thanksgiving and Christmas every year, even going back to the when he retired, and still keep in the circle with the guys, you know, cool, up here, Busick and in that crew. So
nice.
You know, endured by many. That definitely a Ryan, true Hall of Famer.
Oh, true Hall of Famer. Absolutely.
Yeah, you look back at that Hall of Fame run with goalies, and now it seems like it's coming back now that Barrasso and Vernon got in. But there was a gap where they said, hold on, we're not letting goalies in. But seems like we're coming back now. But, yeah, all those goalies from that era, for sure, were bona fide Hall of Famers.
Isn't it kind of weird how him and Dryden, like rivals, like within weeks of each other going in?
Yep. And Eddie Jacques as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So when I was talking to Ed about doing the podcast, he said that he wanted to talk about this sport called football. So, Ed, here you go. Here's your chance. Fire away.
I'm just saying. So, I thoroughly enjoyed last night's football games. I don't know if you guys watched any of the Alabama game last night. I don't know if anybody watched
the Ole Miss game.
We had a Ed, that was the real-life Billy Bob in that Alabama game, was it not? It was like a 375-pound lineman catches a screen.
Oh, my God. That was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah. He just didn't cry like Billy Bob did. So there you go.
No, that he didn't. But, no, I think the football, I'm still bothered by all the flags that are being thrown for no reason. I'm glad that they are not doing the virtual measurement this year. You know, it's nice to I still, like, the whole targeting thing still really bothers me. I understand that, hey, we're trying to protect the players, but it still bothers me that, you know, it is a bang-bang play. All right, whose smoke detector just went off? Change it. Put your batteries in your damn smoke detector, will you?
Hey, I don't live in New Bedford anymore.
Ed, that's you from cooking.
No. I just went out and stirred it. It's fine. It's all good, man.
You're American. Hey,
you can take the boy out of New Bedford. You can't take New Bedford out of the boy.
Well, I don't know what anybody else thinks about the football season, but I mean, I've been thoroughly enjoying it quite a bit. So,
yeah, I mean, the NFL, the NFL sucks. Everybody's injured. It's all about money. I'm so over it, man. But that being said, I'm going to watch the Dallas Cowboys play the Micah Parsons tonight, and we're going to see how many times Dak Prescott gets sacked. My over under, I think five. He's going to be sacked at least five times. That cheese whiz of a freaking O-line, Micah Parsons is going to eat him up. College football, on the other hand, has been phenomenal this season. Yes. From Florida State beating Bama and then getting upset by UVA. I mean, I could just go on. Bama beating Georgia. Come on, dude. Like that is just, it's wild right now. It is absolutely insane. Archie Manning isn't the guy we thought he was going to be. And Notre Dame, do we have any Notre Dame fans? Good. Because they're 2-2 and they're still ranked top 25. Like, what the freak, dude? Like, that don't even make sense, man. If you're a two-loss team at this point in the season, you're out of the top 25, bro.
NBC and money, man. Yep.
All about the cheese, baby. It's all about the cheese.
Yo, real talk. Ole Miss is number four, baby. Let's go. Lane Kiffin, Lane Train. Let's keep it rolling, baby.
Lane.
I have some questions. Does anybody else feel that Brian Kelly is completely obnoxious from LSU?
Oh, 100%.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So hate him.
Obnoxious in Notre Dame.
Yeah.
100%. Been that way pretty much his whole career.
Yeah.
And his brother too. His brother's not immune to it either. They're both weird. Yep.
And then has anybody who I know that Brad and Ryan have, but has anybody else enjoyed watching the Cowboys special with Jerry Jones infomercial?
I haven't seen that.
It was much as they did wrestling.
The Cowboys documentary on Netflix.
Yeah,
it's pretty good, man.
It was good.
Not a lot of Bill Parcells in there.
Yeah, they don't hit on like the big stuff that like we wanted to hear. They barely talked about the White House incident. They barely talked about Michael Irvin getting caught in the hotel room. And they left out conveniently that it was a hotel room with women, cocaine, and dildos. Like they didn't go into depth.
Sounds like a WNBA game.
Yeah, like it was, man. So it was just like the Vince documentary on Netflix. Like they just retold a bunch of shit we already knew. They didn't go into any heavy details, and I don't know. We'll never get those stories though, man.
Ed, I even felt that Hard Knocks was lame this year. Just didn't seem to have it.
Buffalo. I like that.
This doesn't seem to have it this year. Like they didn't have the characters other than Dawkins doing Tokyo Drift with his kids in the car. That's really. Really responsible.
That was safe.
Yeah. Scotty, how do you feel Scotty, what's your clinical diagnosis of doing that with your kids in the car, huh?
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I don't even want to go there. That's just nuts, right? You know, that's nuts. And it's nuts that they put that on TV, right? Because then that just kind of promotes that nonsense. I heard actually a funny story this morning about Jerry Jones, who was basically the Cleveland Browns owner, was naming the stadium after his father. And he basically goes, yeah, this is all nice and I respect it a lot, but because you're not going to do a naming rights deal, I got to pay for you to I have to subsidize you because of all the profit sharing in the NHL, NFL. So
there you go.
He's like, oh yeah, I love that, but fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Yep.
I love Jerry.
Jera.
I've noticed, though, the refs, even on the Pats game today, they're starting to call out some of the broadcasters are starting to call off some of the refs. He's like, in today's game, they were like, we're not here to watch you, one of the commentators said. I'm like, usually they won't kind of say it like that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Absolutely.
I agree. But I mean, like the thing is that in my personal opinion, I think that there's they're really taking the contact out of football, you know, or they're trying to anyway. Like, hey, let's change the kickoff, you know. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't find it. I mean, why not have these guys flying down there like kamikazes like the old days? That's what made it fun.
Oh, dude, it's so soft. Jalen Carter got ejected from a game for barely spitting on Dak Prescott.
Hey, Dak spit on him first, though.
Allegedly.
But like, Ed, it was incomplete.
Yeah. It's spit gate. Hasn't been proven.
Andy, they should combine it for you, maybe a toothpick. They pull a toothpick out of the helmet and flick it at an opponent. little respect to Razor there. There you go.
Little homage.
Yep, there you go. Yep.
And you moving on from the football talk? You got anything to add?
Yeah, I'm good with football talk. Yeah, I mean, I think it balanced out the wrestling.
Well, you know, before we move on to another fine segment from Bradford, we want to plug Rosie, you got a TikTok page you want to promote.
Sure. So if y'all like 52-year-old men doing gym, fitness, and nutrition content, I'm your guy. DRose_DefyAge on TikTok, getting a little following going over there, enjoying myself, having fun. So if you want to see some of my business, come check out my page on TikTok.
Now, you're also on the Instagram.
I am, and it's the same at DRose_DefyAge.
And you're also on the OnlyFans.
Yeah. That's under his name, Benjamin Button.
Yeah. Well, you never.
Just not define the age anymore.
You can find him at Captain Chaos with a K.
There you go. Yep.
So as we move away from the sports talk and we start wrapping up the show, we always finish with Tom's usually here to lead us into this, but Bradford, get your tinfoil hat on. It's been a while. A lot to talk about. You got expert opinions now with Scotty on here. He's medically licensed, only in Canada. Take us into
I let mine in the U.S. labs.
Take it away, Bradford.
I think with this new fresh look that Scotty's going for, we should really talk about the disappearance of Hitler and where he wound up and how the Nazis escaped to Argentina. I don't know. But I think, Andy, you had mentioned talking about this meteorite that landed in Panama. So I looked it up on TikTok, and I've seen like different shit. One, it just looks like a potato that the dude spray painted with silver spray paint. Apparently, he like threw it in some water or the microwave or something, and it grew like some mass, like Venom from the comic books. Seen a bunch of different shit. I've seen some other shit where this lady said is an actual orb had landed in Panama and they carbon dated it and it was 500 years old. So I don't know if there's like misdirection going on TikTok, if it just only brought me to the weird spray painted potato, if there really was an orb that landed. I couldn't find anything that was like real concrete. I don't know, Andy.
Did you see that?
You brought it up, so I mean, what of that did you see?
I mean, am I the only one that saw that? Like with the tentacles growing out of it, and then he released it in the water.
Yeah, he released it into the sewers, right? Yeah, it was a big thing. He released it into the sewers, right?
Yeah, after he had it in a safe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it kind of looks like AI. It just looks like, you know, garbage that this guy, you know, put on TikTok to kind of get people worked up. He even like showed the ground where the meteor had landed, and the ground was just burning in random spots. I was like, dude, you could easily recreate that. Like, that's not, you know. And so I don't know, man. I think it's perfect timing. I think the conspiracy isn't whether that is real. I think the conspiracy is perfect timing to kind of like throw us a curveball. Because if you guys haven't been watching the news, paying attention to what's going on in space, 3i Atlas is like hurtling through space right now, headed towards Earth, and it is the most important space discovery up to this point, right? Because it's giving off projection vibes, like it's propelled, like it's a ship of some sort. I think they're trying to, you know, dissuade us from that and be like, hey, don't look at that. Look at this guy on TikTok that thinks he found an alien, and we're gonna try to, you know, pull the old bait and switch while the real thing gets closer. And then by the time it gets here, we'll all be like, hey, where did this come from? Unless you've been like, you know, deep on the interwebs of Instagram where they talk about it. So,
well, maybe they can, you know, go to Richard Nixon and have him call it on the regular telephone.
Yeah, it's like Project Bluebeam all over again, man. Like that's what I feel like is happening, man. Like, and nobody's paying attention to 3i Atlas. Every time you bring it up, people say, "Huh, what's that?" Or, "Oh no, man, it's just a comet." I'm like, "Yo, it's like 200 yards long," and it's giving off the same vibes as something that is propelled. Like there's propulsion. It's not just a comet trail. Like they're trying to say like there's some form of like engine pushing this thing through space. So it's definitely of some form of life, even if it's a meteor. Like it's freaking huge, man. Like this is a world ender. It's gonna go through our
all this is great because Dennis space. Actually wanted to plug his other TikTok account, Heaven's Gate 2.0.
Yeah, we are gonna jump on the ship.
So, the Kool-Aid. There you go. Castration's around for everybody. There you started. Go.
Oh, for sure. Kidding me?
Dennis, we want to know if you go on the OnlyFans page, will you get to see armpit hair in your videos?
It's in the Grindr page.
There you go. Look at that, huh?
It's a little long right now. I gotta do some grooming.
That's okay. That's all right. We just got some ratings.
Cool. Look at this.
Oh my god. <geez. laughs>
It's a bunch of dudes, but that's all right.
Background, or we
would have venerable force going on down here.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object right on the.
Oh man,
that's not you're not you guys aren't gonna dock with hair, are you?
ET phone home,
like Velcro.
Before we move away from the tinfoil hat and wrap everything up, that I want to add, have you ever seen that guy on TikTok that makes the predictions? He's almost like, he acts like he's blind, he's bald, he always has his hands together and he makes these predictions. Have you ever seen that dude? He almost looks like a monk. No. You ever seen that dude? I know Brad's seen him I just don't know his name. He says that in 2027, there will finally be alien contact with Earth. So, if this is all part of that, you know, whole thing coming together, Scotty's already got a smirk on his face. He wants to add, Scott, alien contact, not illegal alien contact.
They're all coming up to Canada. They're leaving the U.S. They're all afraid of the ice. But I've just been like Googling what Brad was saying. I gotta talk to Brad more often just to get updated on these particular things. Because I never heard of 3i Atlas, so I think there's possibility, right? There's just, you know, the more we learn, we know nothing about what's out there, right? We have no clue. I mean, I just saw like last week they're actually showing that there were organisms in Mars, and they're kind of seeing all that stuff. So, you know, nothing surprises me there. It's, you know, the whole theory of, are we some race that was, you know, dropped off here at some point in time and then burned ourselves out and regenerated, what have you? Who knows? I guess maybe I'm wearing my own tinfoil hat there, Brad. I didn't get raptured last week, so who knows?
You got to come on the show more often. That's what the problem is, Scott. You got to make more appearances.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, but we haven't even explored the ocean to its fullest extent yet.
Oh.
NASA started as underwater ocean exploration. We haven't even begun to get close to the deepest, you know, because of the pressures and everything. We can't do it. And, you know, you think we just all of a sudden flew to the moon? With that technology, if like that was the pinnacle of our space exploration, was the moon?
Well, I got my money on China. China's apparently going up there.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, can I share with you my favorite tinfoil? And you might know this. The royal family, they're all alien shapeshifters.
Yeah, I believe it.
There you go.
That's where the term blue blood came from.
I like it.
Yep.
So if that's the case, why would they shape? To that, they can't even grow hair
like Charles. Why would an alien want to look like Prince Charles? Is that what you say?
You gotta blend in, Scott.
You gotta blend in. If you ever go to England now, they may throw you in jail for what you say now.
No, I know, William, that's the thing to tell you, no matter what money you have, you cannot fight Bulbous.
Yep, I know.
I agree.
Bad face.
So, So, you know, we have that Gen X perspective, and I had sent a meme to the Phantom maybe a week or two ago, and it was about how so much information maybe isn't a good thing for your overall day to day. When, like, not to hop on it, but like with the wrestling or watching a movie, when you didn't know and have all these spoiler alerts and you just were able to watch something with your buddies, with your parents, just go to the movies for an escape, it was better. I always stick to this theory with, I don't care how smart you think you are on the internet, why are you screwing yourself out of a good time? Why do you need to go on and know the ending of a movie that you're going to pay to see?
Right.
That Empire Strikes Back factor where you're standing in line and you don't know that Vader is Luke's father. If you had that ruined for you ahead of time, it wouldn't have the same impact that we discuss right now. I think us growing up, and I'll say this, and people will probably call BS, but we were the last good generation of growing up to become the people that we are. And it all molded from that aspect of it. Now it's, you know, used to have arguments with, you know, your buddies over stats on something or whatever. Now it's at your fingertips. And it's just too much information, too much distraction for stuff that doesn't affect you day to day. You just want to seem smarter that you actually know what's going on rather than just being involved in what you've got going on and trying to, you know, like, not to put the rub on, but Dennis has put a bunch of good TikToks and Instagram posts out lately just about what works for somebody might inspire somebody else to do it. What might not work for them might inspire somebody else. You never know. And if it's one of your buds, whether it's one of your close friends, or it might come at a point that it might not resonate in your 20s or 30s, but maybe it does in your 50s. When you look at the podcast, the hottest thing is when there's one less guy that's going to be on the podcast forever. So the mission statement of doing this is just for future. It's a time capsule. It's for everybody to come on and see everybody and go forward. So that's basically what we do every week. So with that being said, time for a shout out. Shaggy, what do you got?
I'm going to shout out to my wife. It's this weekend was our anniversary. So shout out to Mrs. Shagnon.
Nice.
Their current wife?
The only one I ever had.
Okay. All right. Phantom, what do you got?
I'm going to shout out the – we didn't talk no baseball. I know we're not too heavy with baseball, but I'm shout out the Sox. Let's see what they can do.
Yep. Good call.
Did they make the postseason?
They did.
They made it.
I don't think they would, but they did.
Scotty, what do you got? Shout out all the guys down at work.
Well, at work, my organization, we just celebrated 50 years of helping kids in rehab, developmental disabilities, all that cool stuff. So yesterday we hosted a huge event. It was our 50th birthday, and it was really, really cool to see that we've helped over 100,000 kids for all kinds of developmental needs. And so, yeah, taking a little serious for a moment, but I was really proud about all the work we've done.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Edwin, your chop suey's burning. What do you got?
I have two things. Number one, Shag, I'm very happy to see that you're finally doing legs again. And Dennis, a little bit more posting on how much you're squatting.
I can do that.
Dennis, more I'd like day. To see more your day-to-day meal plan.
Ed, I'm squatting about three times a day.
Way to stay regular.
On the bowl.
Bunch of brand muffins don't count there, Branko.
I'm trying.
Hey, Raisin Bran. Because, two scoops of raisins makes that cereal just so much better.
All right, Bradford, you're up.
Man, I don't know. How am I supposed to follow this? Scotty's doing good things. Shaggy's had a great anniversary. I'll just say, hey, speaking of developmental disorders, Scotty, I'm going to go take a bunch of Tylenol and watch this Cowboys games. Maybe I'll wind up at the train museum downtown. We'll see.
So, because we have a rookie on the podcast, I'm going to leave it to Gibby to finish the show with a shout out.
Wow. Okay. So two things. Number one, Andy, I loved all your stuff about, you know, human interaction and being with each other in movies. But Ryan, let me know when you're ready to play NHL 26 online.
I gotta buy it first.
Yeah.
Much like the WWE, it's getting a little expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. my shout out, I was thinking of it as you went up and down the list, Andy, would be to you and Dennis. I've known you guys for over 45 years. And look at us here now doing a podcast in our early 50s. This is unbelievable. This is great. I mean, geez. Yeah. Andy, Dennis, this is crazy. I feel like we should be, maybe watching wrestling in Dennis's basement or just, you know, doing something. As we got a little older in life, Dennis, we did a lot more different things. But, yeah,
in this that is great. Too. Yeah.
So shout out to two old timers from East Fairhaven. There you go. How about that? There you go.
Bringing people together. That's what it's all about. Call. So, Ed, I don't know if you can add to what explain for everyone before we leave what the mission statement is from your perspective of this podcast, because I beat it to death, but I'd rather hear it from you.
No, it's all about getting everybody together. I mean, we all live great far apart. Some of us do. And it's great. It's a great way to stay connected. And, as we all take these numerous trips around the sun, like we all have, most of us, on exception of Brad, have taken at least close to 50. And, it's good to stay connected. So, I agree with you 100%. And, after when I came home after that, I mean, not being home for, 20 months, and, talking with you, Brian, and Tom, and you guys like, oh, yeah, we haven't seen each other for, 18 months. I'm like, you guys live 15 minutes away from each other. Is it great? Yeah. Like, come on, fellas. I mean, I understand COVID and, Massachusetts rules were very different than the South rules, but, where you needed to have your papers to see each other. But, it's great to see each other, everybody, even if it is just for an hour and a week. That's great.
Yeah, that's the at the heart of the thing. That's what it is. It's almost like a virtually going out to the Strand again, but without all the hygiene.
Without the 50 cent beers. Without the 50 cent beers.
Yeah. So,
and the police.
And numerous other things, allegedly. Things that I would love in a different forum in another time to be able to share with everyone. But statute of limitations still in play. lawyers said it's a no-go. So, lot of stuff to talk about for future.
Is that Sam Small Print Lyman? Is he still your lawyer?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, nice. Bring him on the road, especially when I get the kids, just in case something happens.
There you go. Nice.
So thanks to Derek for coming on for the first time. You. Thanks for Scotty and Dennis for showing back up. We're going to get back into the groove and start getting everybody a little regular. Three times a day, regular.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Later, everyone.
Take care, guys.